This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
In October of 2005, neuroscientist James Fallon was searching through brain scans of psychopaths and other abnormal brains when he made a surprising discovery.
Until then, Fallon believed that our genes mainly determine our behavior. What he found that day muddied the waters a bit.
James Fallon joins us now. His new book is called The Psychopath Inside, a neuroscientist's personal journey into the dark side of the brain. James is a professor of psychiatry and human behavior at the University of California, Irvine School of Medicine. And James, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Veronica.
You've been looking at brain scans as part of your research, in particular the brains of serial killers, in this instance, psychopaths, and a handful of other abnormal brain types. What does the brain of a psychopath look like?
Well, the consistent underlying pattern looks like, and it's not just from those that I had been studying and reported on, but recently other people have found the same thing. And so far it looks like it's a reduction of activity, neural activity, in the part of the prefrontal cortex over the eyes. It's called orbital because it's over the orbits, and also called ventromedial. That's all right next to each other. And also there was a lower activity in the amygdala at the end of the temporal lobe. And these two connect to make a big C in the brain of structures. And this is the emotional brain or limbic system. And these were all pretty much turned off. And in addition, the area, another part connecting them, called the insula, showed a patchiness that was very abnormal, and that area has to do with empathy. So it's those areas of the brain that are involved in ethics, morality, controls of impulse, but also kind of your animal desires and your the type of empathy you have or don't have. Those areas were really abnormal in all these psychopaths and many of the murderers.
And so you see a brain like that, you see these areas of the brain that are maybe shut down, and you think, okay, this is a profile of the brain of a psychopath, right?
Well, it's the profile of the brain of somebody who probably has those traits. And so people who have this pattern may not be psychopaths, but they probably will have the traits of the impulsivity, kind of devil may care. They will lack a certain kind of empathy. That is, they'll have many of the traits, but perhaps without being a categorical a psychopath. And so, I mean, if you see this pattern, and when I've seen it in people, you can kind of tell how they behave, but it doesn't mean you can't tell they're a criminal and you can't tell they're a categorical psychopath, but you know some of their behaviors for sure.
All right. Well, and some of these people include, you, as a matter of fact. You were looking through these and you got a shock. Tell us what happened.
Well, you know, I guess in everybody's life, Gandalf shows up at the door and plays a trick. And the problem is I played a trick on myself. It was purely by serendipity. And as I was at the end of analyzing all these murderers' brains and psychopaths and was starting to give talks, I just happened to be doing a parallel study in the lab on genes that are associated with Alzheimer's disease. And we had finished all the patients, and we were looking for controls, more controls. And we're doing genetic studies and the PET scans. And so I asked my family if they want to be involved because we needed normals. But also we hadn't done a family, and especially my wife's mother and father died of Alzheimer's. She had a lot of it in the family. And so I asked her, do you really want to know? And, you know, maybe you don't want to know if you have the genetics and the beginning patterns of this, even though you're normal now. And she said yes. And this was a key thing that happened. And, in a way, I don't know if I wish she would have said yes, because this opened up everything. So I blame this on her, basically. So we did it, and the scans came back, and I went through them, and I had a pile of all the murder scans and the psychopaths on the table on my office. And the technicians brought the scans in. They said, here's your family scans. There's a whole pile of them. And I looked through very quickly. You know, we had it coded so there were no names on anything. I like to do these blindly. Normal. And I was so relieved. I got through, you know, all the way through the pile just about. And everybody looked normal. It didn't look like Alzheimer's, because I've seen a lot of Alzheimer's patients' brains and PET scans. But I got to the last one, and I flipped it over, and I told the technician, I said, this one is in the wrong pile. This should be in the murderers pile. It's clearly mislabeled. And they went back to the PET machine and rechecked. They come back, no, it's your family. I mean, at that point, I had to tear off the label. And it was me. And it was,
my gosh.
The technician and I looked at each other. We just started to laugh. We kind of got the joke. and it was on me, but I just kind of laughed it off and really didn't get the rest of the genetics done for a while because we were so busy with this adult stem cell company I was setting up and these other studies. I kind of laughed it off because I thought to myself, I'm not a psychopath. I'm not a killer, rapist. After I got the genetic studies, the same thing came back. I had like 15 of the genes that are associated with aggression and violence in psychopathy, as well as many of the 15 or so ones related to low empathy.
And then did you start to put it together a little bit and say, you know, maybe I do have some of these traits?
Well, Veronica, after the genes came back, I had two parts of the biology were there. You know, there was a brain connectivity pattern that was associated with psychopathy, clearly, and the genetics. But still, I didn't take it seriously until, you know, I work with a lot of psychiatrists and who know me intimately in my behavior and geneticists. And we went through everything, and I started to ask them. I said, I'm not a psychopath, am I? Then the floodgates opened up. And they said, well, we've been telling you for many years that your behavior is psychopathic. And, you know, Veronica, I just said, well, that's like when somebody calls you crazy, you kind of blow it off, you're crazy. You know, you laugh it off. But they said, over the years, they listed all of these things I had done, and they agreed that I had all these psychopathic behaviors. I never was listening to this because I didn't see it all at once.
You know, so they made the case that, yeah, in fact, you did exhibit some of these behaviors that psychopaths have. But on the other hand, you've never murdered anybody. You're not a rapist. So why do some people have that brain and those genes and they go out and they murder somebody? And why didn't you?
Well, this is the great question. What I in thinking about this, I finally was sitting in my jacuzzi. My mother was here. She's like 96 at the time. She's 90. And she was, you know, pruning our plant. She loves to do that in the garden. And she was sitting on this three-legged stool. And I looked at it, and I looked at her, and I said, Jesus, that's it. Now, you know, my life growing up in my family was incredibly good. And I looked at my mother, and, you know, and I realized that she had before me and after me, like 7 or 8 miscarriages. So after my oldest brother was born, it was like 5 years, then I was born, and then 4 more years before the next one. So I was like the next brother. And I was the middle of this, so I was always treated like the golden child. And I was by not only my parents and siblings, but also by my aunts and uncles and grandparents and their friends. It was just quite extraordinary. And you could see it in all the pictures. And I went back and looked at the movies. I was happy as a lark. And it was because of, you know, the way I was treated. And
you were loved.
I was absolutely loved. And I think my mother instinctively knew that. She also saw me right at the time. And she just told me this. This was just a year and a half ago. I was writing the book. This is something quite surprised me. And she told me that I went through this extraordinary dark period around puberty. And she was going to get a psychiatrist for me and all this, tell my father, but she didn't. I think she just told my teachers and other people to watch this guy, you know, make sure he doesn't get into trouble and everything. But, you know, Veronica, frankly, I was like, I'm, you know, 6 foot, I was athletic, like 210 pounds, and really got along with people. And so I was very social and athletic, and nobody ever bothered me anyway. And I was never subjected to anything that could be considered bullying or abuse. And I said, that's it. I said, I have all these genes. And I found out I had another allele for a serotonin transporter that I write about in the book because it was so important that I have this one. And it was thought to be one of these warrior genes that put you at risk for violence and everything. But that's only if you're subjected to early abandonment or abuse, especially in the first few years of life.
So to cut to the chase, long story short, it's not necessarily just our brains and our genes. It's the environment.
Yeah, this was embarrassing for me, you know, personally, because I had been like the poster boy to my colleagues about being genes are everything. And I had to eat crow. I had it wrong. And once I saw how genes and environment and the timing of it in specific ways, it turned me upside down. So it was embarrassing professionally, but enlightening for me. And sometimes you got to just, you know, eat it.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. It's a fascinating story. James, thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking to James Fallon, professor of psychiatry, and his new book is called The Psychopath Inside, A Neuroscientist's Personal Journey into the Dark Side of the Brain.